So we'll start with Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now we're going to go to forward, John 10, verses 1 to 18. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Thank you.
My name is Mark. If you haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Church Modbury, and it's great to be with you this morning for Good Friday. Whether you're a regular member with us or you're visiting with us for Easter, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. During World War II, a prisoner went missing from Auschwitz, the infamous Nazi concentration camp. And whenever that happened, the guards would take 10 random prisoners to be executed as revenge for the prisoner who had escaped. One of those unlucky prisoners on this occasion was a man called Franciszek Gajonizek. I'm hoping I've pronounced that correctly. But before the guards could take him away to his fate, another prisoner stepped forward and offered to die in his place. This prisoner was a Polish priest called Maximilian Kolbe. The guards allowed it, and this second man went to his death while the condemned prisoner went on to survive the war, reunite with his wife and children, and live for another 50 years. Imagine someone willingly laying down their life for you in that way. I can only imagine the gratitude that I'd feel, the sense of debt, perhaps also the curiosity of why they were willing to lay down their life for mine. Well, the message of Good Friday is that we actually can meet and we can get to know this person. Jesus isn't just someone who lived and died 2,000 years ago, but he's someone who died for us. And as strange as it may sound, someone who we can have a relationship with today. Someone who knows us. Someone who loves us. Someone worth us meeting and getting to know as well. On Good Friday, we often tend to focus on the events of Jesus' death, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, what we're doing today is we're stepping back and we're asking the question, who is this Jesus who died on that very first Good Friday? We'll look at what Jesus himself said about why he had to die. We've just read from John's Gospel, which is a biography of Jesus' life written by one of his disciples. And John records this speech that Jesus gave to a group of people, some of whom were people who trusted and followed him, some who were a bit sceptical. And Jesus says to them, and he says to us as well today, that he came to bring us life. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus is saying, the reason I'm here on earth is so that people can have life to the full. You probably noticed as Jesus was giving his speech that he uses a lot of sheep and shepherding language when he's talking. Maybe they were standing next to a flock of sheep while he was giving the speech. And he's trying to help everyone there to understand who he is and the life that he's come to bring. He tells them, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So imagine for a moment, lots of sheep crammed together in a sheep pen. It's really hot, really smelly. There's no personal space. But outside, they can look through the gaps in the fence and they can see green pastures with lots of space to eat and to drink and to rest. And all that's standing between them and this pasture is a gate. And Jesus says, I am that gate. You come through me, you can be saved. You can have life to the full. So there are two things Jesus is saying here. Firstly, there's a better life on offer for us. Jesus offers a life that's rich, secure, satisfying, unending. The life that God created us for. Comparing life right now with this life to the full that Jesus offers is like comparing the smelly sheep pen with the luscious green fields outside. But the second thing Jesus says is we can't have this life without him. We need to go through him to get it. We need saving. And that's because of a problem that we all face. One that we heard about in our other reading from Isaiah, which appropriately also picks up on the sheep language. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And Isaiah is talking here about the problem of sin. Sin is something that's deep in our hearts, kind of like a magnet that repels us away from God, makes us want to ignore the God who created us to have life with him. And sin is something that poisons everything. It poisons our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, our relationships with ourselves even, and with the natural world all around us. It leaves us facing God's judgment. And unlike that poor prisoner in the concentration camp who was unjustly condemned, in our case, there's nothing unfair about it. Because if God is perfectly good, if God is a perfectly good God, there's nothing bad about him, then there's nothing more evil that anyone could do than to reject or to ignore this perfectly good God. And so we need rescuing. Sin is a really heavy concept. It feels pessimistic. It feels offensive even, because it's saying we're not good enough and we never could be good enough. We hear about that and we don't want it to be true. We don't want this idea of sin to be a real truth that defines us. And yet it makes so much sense of the world that we live in. The brokenness out there, the wars, the corruption, the abuse, the greed, the things that just seem to be getting worse even as we make such big steps forward with technology. But not just the brokenness out there, the brokenness in here, as well. We all realize at some level that the world is not what it ought to be. And that we're not who we ought to be either. The Bible shows us that the problem is worse than we thought. But it also gives us hope. Because Jesus didn't just come. Jesus died to bring us life. Jesus can be the gate who opens up the way to life only by also being the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. We needed rescuing. And the only way that could happen is if there was someone who was able and willing to stand in our place, to face God's judgment for us. And Jesus was able. He was the only person who lived a perfect, completely innocent life. The only person who didn't deserve God's judgment himself. He was the only person who could offer up his perfect human life in exchange for ours. And he was willing as well. He was the good shepherd, ready to lay down his life for mine and for yours. And this was God's plan all along. The reading that Lily gave us from Isaiah, that was written 700 years before Jesus died on the cross. And yet it tells us exactly what was going to happen on that day. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took the punishment so that we could have peace with God. And that was the plan all along. Jesus wasn't the unwilling victim in all of this. He lays down his life for his sheep of his own accord. He bears our guilt. He bears our shame. When I think about the worst things that I've said or thought or done, when I think about the worst things that humanity throughout history has done, Jesus has suffered to take the punishment that those things deserve so that we don't have to. The punishment that brings us peace with God was on him on that cross. By his wounds, we can be healed. We can be forgiven. We all know what it is to feel guilty, don't we? We know what it is to feel guilt. Even if I think I'm a good person, I know that I'm not a perfect person. At times, I've done the wrong thing. I've hurt people. I've let myself down. Some of us here will feel that a little bit. We'll feel a little bit of a prick on our conscience. Some of us will be overwhelmed by it. We'll feel like every day we're carrying 100 kilos of guilt on our back. What do I do with that guilt? What do I do with guilt? Well, I could try to just push the feeling aside. I could convince myself that if you weighed up all the good things I've done, all the bad things I've done, the good things would be much, much more. Or I could try to set things right. I could try to make up for what I've done. Does anyone remember this show back in the day? Anyone watch My Name is Earl? Back in the day, probably showing my age a little bit here. But that's basically what was happening in this show. Earl was trying to make up for all the people who he'd hurt in his life. He was going around and remembering all the things he'd done wrong and trying to make up for it. Or maybe I could try and project that guilt onto other people. I could work out a way to frame myself as the innocent victim. To convince myself and everyone around me that I'm really the victim. I'm not guilty. That the things that I've done wrong are things that other people have forced on me. That it's a response to all the things other people have done against me. None of these approaches quite deal with the problem of guilt, though. But at Easter, we see that there's another option. There's another option. To lay that guilt at the feet of Jesus. To let him bear it for us. So that instead we can have the life to the full that he alone can offer us. It's a pretty good deal for us. Jesus takes our guilt and shame and we receive his life. Because in John chapter 10, Jesus calls us to receive this life. How do we do that? Well, by meeting him, by listening to him, by following him. Jesus tells us, my sheep will listen to my voice. They'll follow me. And if we missed it the first time around, he repeats it again later on. My sheep, my people, they listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My people know me, Jesus is saying. I know them. They listen to me. They follow me. I give them life. And Jesus can give them life because he himself doesn't stay dead. I might be spilling the beans a bit ahead of Easter Sunday, but we'll see that Jesus not only lays down his life, he takes it up again. He's raised to life. He's no longer dead. He's someone that we can meet. Someone we can know. But how? How can we do that? He's not sitting here physically with us the same way that all of us are. How can we meet Jesus and get to know him? Well, we can read about him in the Bible. As we read through the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible, we meet someone extraordinary. Jesus is more wise, more powerful, more compassionate than anyone else. In fact, the whole Bible, not just the four Gospels, but the whole Bible fits together to point us to Jesus, to help us to meet him. We saw that Isaiah verse earlier, which was written centuries before Jesus was born, and yet revealing him, showing us why he had to come. And so we can meet Jesus in the Bible. We can speak to him. We can pray to him. He hears us. And he promises to be with everyone who trusts in him by sending his Holy Spirit to live inside us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to change us, to be more like him. We receive the life Jesus offers by listening to him and by following him, by accepting his death in our place and choosing to make him our king. We long for that day when we're truly going to have life to the full. That day when we'll see Jesus face to face. We'll have eternal life with him. There'll be none of the guilt, none of the sin, none of the shame, none of the pain, none of the brokenness that we experience today. But even now, as we wait, we can get a taste of this life to the full as we live in relationship with Jesus. We can know him. We can bask in his perfect goodness. And we can be secure knowing that he knows us. He knows us. He knows me. He knows everything about me, even the things that I would never share up here with any of you. And he loves me. He accepts me. He was willing to lay down his life for mine with no hesitation at all. And so I can know that he's someone I can trust completely. Someone I can depend on. Because he has done all that was needed for me to be saved. We'll see in a moment's time that the last thing Jesus says on the cross before he dies is, "It is finished." It is finished. The work is done. We don't earn life to the full. We don't earn peace with God. We don't earn the removal of our guilt. We receive it because Jesus earned it for us on the cross. It goes against the way that our world works, doesn't it? You know, we want to be self-made. We earn our money. We earn our status. We earn it all. The idea of being in someone else's debt is a bit uncomfortable for us. And also goes against the way that religion works. Might seem like a strange thing for a pastor to be saying on Good Friday that this is different to religion, but religion says do. Jesus says done. Religion says you do this, and if you do it well enough, you'll be right with God. Jesus says, I've done this so that you can be right with God. I've done it. If you're someone who has met Jesus and who knows Jesus already, make this Easter another reminder to keep trusting him, to keep coming to him. There's a drift that we constantly have to fight against, and that is the drift towards wanting to justify myself, to carve out my own identity, to be defined by my success, my personality, my status. See, I can believe that Jesus died for me. I can completely believe in my mind that Jesus died for my sins, but still be trying to build up my identity on me instead of on Jesus. And we need to guard against that. Because the most important thing about me isn't anything that I achieve. No, the most important thing about me is what Jesus achieved for me on that cross. Who I am in God's sight because of him. And if you're here this morning just checking out what Easter's all about, checking out what Christianity is all about, can I encourage you to get to know Jesus, to take those first steps in getting to know Jesus, getting to know the man who laid down his life to bring us true life. Listen to him. Read about him in the Bible. See if you think that this Jesus is someone who is worth knowing, worth following. If you want, you can grab one of these books just on the table next to the door as you head out from here to grab soup and hot cross buns afterwards. It's our gift to anyone who is here exploring Jesus. It's a great little book about what Easter is all about. You're welcome to join us here at 10 a.m. on Sunday as we celebrate Easter Sunday together. And you're always welcome here on a Sunday morning. No matter what your background is, no matter what you believe, you're always welcome here on a Sunday as we spend time each week getting to pressing deeper into who Jesus is and what it means to live for him. Coming up in May, we've got an event called Life that's happening. This is something that we run a couple of times a year. We're running it across four Tuesday nights at Sparrows, just across the road. The way it works is we put on some food and some drink, and each night we explore a bit about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. It's relaxed, it's free, there's no pressure or anything put on you. You can ask any questions that you want. It's for anyone who's wanting to find out more and wanting to decide for yourself who Jesus is. Got some flyers at the back. Come and have a chat with me if you've got any questions. We'd love to have you along to that if you think that would be a helpful next step for you. In a moment, we're going to sing a song to respond to what we've heard and to help us reflect on what happened on that first Good Friday. Who else would lay down their life so that we could be redeemed and so that we could have life to the full? Who else but Jesus? We magnify his name. He alone deserves all glory, all honor, and all praise. So let me pray for us as the band comes to lead us in song. Our Lord and God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the gate to true, everlasting life to the full. Thank you that he is the good shepherd who loved us enough to lay down his life to secure us this life. Help us to grasp the weight of our sin. But even more, help us to know the depth of your love. And we pray that you would help us to listen to Jesus, to follow him, to know him, to keep getting to know him better, and to rest and rejoice in his finished work for us on the cross. Amen.